In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Truly, the greatest thing that we can do in this life is prayer, because perfect prayer is perfect union with God, and that's the purpose of our life. So if a person can pray perfectly, that means he has learned all of the commandments and expunged all the passions from his soul and loves as God loves and has union with God. So the greatest thing we can do is prayer to that end, to become what we are predestined to become. Prayer is hard. If you don't think prayer is hard, you haven't tried hard enough yet. I'm just telling you flat out. Prayer is hard. It's easy to say your morning prayers and rattle them off. Maybe for some of you that's difficult to be consistent. But just to say morning prayers or to say evening prayers or to sing an akathist, that's doable. You can learn to do that. What's really hard is to pray with all of your soul and be with God and nothing else. To only be you and God. God is bright. God is a fire. And we are straw. And we have dull eyes. And it's very hard to be in the presence of God. That's why probably none of us have ever been fully in his presence. It's a very rare thing for a person to be in his presence in this life. But prayer is the seeking of that, to be in his presence. And when I read this gospel about the fish, I think about prayer. Because if you will allow me a little bit of metaphor here, the gospel is full of references to inner prayer. And that's what you should be aiming for. That should be your goal in your life. Not about your job and your vacation and going to school and preparing for this and preparing for that. The purpose of your life is union with God. And it's hard to do. It's something you must work at. And prayer is the first and the middle and the end of all labor. I didn't always know that. I knew it intellectually, but I didn't know it practically. And now that I know it practically, I regret that I spent much more time in activity than I did in prayer. So I'm not that good at it yet. Should be better. It's been 30 years. But it's better to learn at the end to be the one at the 11th hour than to not go into the field at all. So let's talk about this gospel and about prayer. First of all, there were ships at the lake and they pushed out a little bit from the land. This is preparation for prayer. If your prayer is mundane, if your prayer is while you're listening to a CD in the car and the wind is whistling through the windows, you haven't pushed out through the land into the deep. You haven't pushed off from the land. You're just being mundane. If you rattle off your prayers so fast that even if you make a mistake, you don't even know it, then you're not pushing off from the land. You're just mundane. That's not prayer. That's the beginnings of prayer. But prayer is where we have complete fixation on God, gazing at him and begging him for help. And eventually, according to the gospel, there will come a time when those who pray with begging of the Lord will not pray anymore because they will just be in the presence of God. When you have what you have asked for, you cease asking for it. And that will be the eventual state of a Christian. Not to be praying to God, but to be in his presence. So, we must thrust out a little bit from the land. In fact, we must go out into the deep, as the Lord says. He said to Simon, after he had finished speaking to them and also all the people on the shore, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. This is prayer. You've got to go out into the deep. Now, the deep is a dangerous place. There are storms in the deep. It gets lonely in the deep. It's dangerous in the deep. But you've got to go out there in order to pray. Now, in a practical sense, what that means for us, obviously we don't have to get in a ship and go out into the middle of the ocean to pray. But we must dedicate ourselves to prayer. One of the worst things that you can have going on in your life is, well, I don't pray very much. I don't pray very consistently. That's a terrible thing. That's a terrible thing. You must, on a daily basis, budget your time so that you would pray and you'd go out into the deep. The Lord is an abyss. He's a deep abyss. And he's frightening and scary for those that have sins. That means us. He's not frightening and scary because he's a judger of men. It's because he's God and he's pure and holy, and we're not pure and holy. And we are supposed to become pure and holy. And the only way we can do it is by approaching the holy. So we take our sandals off, as Moses did, and we approach with desire, with fear, but also with confidence, because the Lord has said he'll receive us. So you must launch out into the deep. So if you're not praying on a regular basis, and if your prayer is haphazard, if your prayer is distracted, then you're not praying enough. You must struggle to do this. This is not easy. Nobody ever said it would be easy. The Lord didn't say it would be easy. Anybody who tells you about a Christianity that is easy is a charlatan and a liar. They're probably making a lot of money, but they're not telling the truth. People want to hear that, but I won't tell you what a person wants to hear. I've got to tell you the gospel. And the gospel is we are born for union with God. And that union with God can only occur with our effort being coupled with God's grace. And you've got to make a lot of effort to have this union occur. Of course, none of your ability brings about this union, but your desire God sees, and then he will give his grace. So you must launch out into the deep. Now, I'll tell you, when you pray, other than, you know, just your standard kind of prayers, morning prayers and things like that, when you pray deeply, especially the Jesus prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. When you pray that with attention as best you can, obviously none of us are completely attentive, but if you really try, I'll tell you what, it's like being out in the deep in a little boat, because it's hard to do. And thoughts come upon you that you don't want to have. And I'll tell you exactly how to get rid of those thoughts. It works every time. Stop praying. You'll be rid of the thoughts. Because the thoughts are to fight you, to keep you from praying. And so when the devils have their objective, they lessen the thoughts. Because those thoughts are difficult. Maybe they're thoughts of inadequacy. They're thoughts of someone that doesn't love you. They're thoughts of someone who's not doing well. They're thoughts of regret. That's being in the deep. That's being in the stormy, the dark deep, in the middle of the night. But you've got to be able to get there and stay there, if only for a little while. It might be a short time in the beginning. But eventually it will be a long time. And then things will happen in your heart. You won't believe in God because of what you have been told, but because of who you are. Things will be absolutely crystal clear to you, not in words, but in your heart. And that's from prayer, from being in the presence of God. So you've got to thrust out from the land, and you've got to launch out into the deep, and you've got to let down your nets for a draught. That means you've got to expect to catch fish. That's a hard thing. I confess to you, it's hard for me, and I know it's hard for you. And some of you, I don't think you've even gotten to the point where you know it's hard. You still have to get to that point, and it takes time to get there because we're all on a continuum. But when you pray, and you know your sins, and you know your inadequacies, and you're asking God for things, it is hard to have a firm expectation that God will fulfill your prayer. It's hard to have this great faith. The apostles came to the Lord and said, Lord, increase our faith. They complained to the Lord when they couldn't cast out the demon from the man's son. Why couldn't we do it? And the Lord said, because of your weak faith. So our faith is weak when we pray. And we must continue to pray to have that faith increase. There's no other way to do it except to continue to struggle. Now, obviously, if you're doing this not in the context of trying to live a moral life, it's absolutely not a possibility. It's like trying to go out in a boat that is full of holes. You cannot do that. You must, of course, struggle to live a moral life. And so there must be fasting, which helps prayer, and coming to the services and confession. All these things are great helps for prayer. But the first thing in our life should be prayer. And let's admit it, it's not always the first thing. Perhaps it's not even the second or the third thing. You must learn to pray with great expectation. God will fulfill your prayer. He did it with the apostles. They weren't ready, by the way, right? This gospel shows that they weren't ready for what they received. They let down their nets. It had been all night long that they'd been fishing. And they didn't expect anything. But the Lord gave them an abundance, so much that their nets broke. In our stage, in our spiritual development, we can have too much of God. Because God is fire. And God is deep and luminous light. And it's too much for us. So we can pray, and then we have to kind of back off. There's a famous saying by Elder Sofroni that you stand at the abyss, and when that gets too difficult, go make a cup of tea. And that's really applies to us as well. But you must expect. And if you don't expect, then you've got to pray that you would expect. No. Don't listen to the doubts. Just pray over them. And this is where I really recommend that you pray the Jesus Prayer, every single one of you, because it's hard. And anything worth having is hard. And you will make progress if you continue to pray. If you have this mindset that it's not mundane. This is what you are to do today, is to pray and to be in the presence of God. It's more important than everything else. And you are to expect that God will hear your prayer. It might not be that moment, but it will be in your lifetime that He will hear. Now, Simon, before they went out into the deep, said, "We've toiled all night long. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net." This is a perfect description, in a mystical way, of prayer. We pray and we don't hear God. The things we pray for don't occur. We want to be a better person and we're not that much better. So we've been toiling all night and not catching anything. But because the Lord has said, pray, the Lord has said, seek my face, we say, at thy word, I will let down the net. Prayer is basically the suspension of your disbelief. Let's be honest. Your disbelief. Your lack of faith in God. You suspend that because you know that God will help you. There's just the things in your heart that kind of well up, all the muck and all the mud and everything, and it gets you confused. This happens to everybody. But you just got to say, I don't believe all that. I know God will help me. And the Lord has said, let down my net, and I'm going to do it. He said, pray, and I'm going to pray. Struggle, and I'm going to struggle. And then sometimes the Lord will give you things in prayer that are just too much to handle. And you got to back off. And that happens. When Peter saw the fish in the net and the net's breaking, he said, Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. It's very hard to see your sins. When you're right next to the Lord and He's so bright and you're dark, you see every imperfection. Now, we're not at the level that we see all of our imperfections. We see only a few of them. But even those few make us want to back off. Make us want to say, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. But look what happened to Peter at the end. Those of you who know me know that I almost always cannot resist mentioning the second great catch of fish. because they're linked. That was at the end of the Gospels. That was after the resurrection, when the Lord said, let down your nets for a draught, and they did on the right side. And they caught a huge multitude of fish, but the nets were not broken. The first time the nets were broken, it was too much for them. The second time, they'd been seasoned. They'd learned things. They'd been toughened. Their faith had grown, and so they could contain the fish. Of course, there are metaphorical meanings to the fish. They're men. But here, I want to say that the Lord fulfills our prayers, and you can consider that fulfillment, let's say, to be fish. Sometimes it's too much for us, but it's not going to be. We have that promise from the second catch of fish. It's going to be that we're going to be able to hold all those fish, 150 and 3. And our net won't break, because we'll be ever increasing our capacity for God as we pray. God, help us to pray. You've got to do it. You've got to struggle to do it. Don't be mundane. Don't pray just in a formal way. That's why, by the way, I tell you to read the Gospels probably every sermon just about. I don't know if you get tired of it or not. I don't, because absolutely you must become the Gospels. The Gospels are how to live. You read the Gospels and you see what you're lacking. And you also see encouragement that you can become what God has told you to become. And then you see methods to become that. You see the humility of the Canaanite woman. You see the zeal of Peter. You see all the rest of the things. And this should drive you to prayer. You should never read the Gospels in a non-prayerful way. It should always be so that your soul would get something it needs. And same thing with the Psalter. The Psalter teaches you to pray too. But it only teaches you to pray. The deep prayer must come from those lessons you've learned from the Gospel and from the Psalter. They must be the groanings in your heart. And you got to go out into the deep to have those kinds of groanings so that you can catch those fish. And it's hard to do. Let's just admit that. It's not easy. But it's good, because it fills us with God. That's the whole purpose of our life. You got to struggle. Now, if you don't pray very much, don't be disturbed about this. Don't be despondent. That's just the devil talking. The devil's a liar. Don't listen to him. The Lord has said he will receive you. Now, if you knew the Gospels, you'd really realize that. If you read them often, it's just so clear that the Lord has come to save. He's come to heal. And we're the ones in need of healing. Doesn't matter how much is wrong with you. The Lord will heal you. You just need to pursue him. You need to launch out into the deep. You need to schedule time every day for your prayer. And then when you pray and you have those doubts, such as Peter mentioned, we've fished all night long, we didn't catch anything. When you have those thoughts that go on in your head, just don't listen to them. Just pray anyway. And God will help you. This is the most important thing you can do for your soul. And the most important thing you can do for the souls of those whom you love. Now, we should always act as we need to, as God directs us, in a physical way for people. I mean, if there are hungry people, you don't just pray for them, you feed them too. But if you only feed them and don't pray for them, you're cheating them. So learn to pray. Struggle to pray. If you're not good at it, then join the rest of the human race. We aren't either. But launch out into the deep. That is, you must have some courage. And don't listen to your doubts, and pray with desire. And God will help you. Truly. at the end of your life, after all of that prayer, after all of that effort, you'll catch a lot of fish. And the net won't break. Your capacity for God will be limitless. And God will fill you completely. And you will become light too. And no longer have darkness in you. That's how powerful prayer is. May God help us to attain to this. Amen.